It's a great privilege today for me to introduce my friend. I met Brother Bill Schneider 20 years ago when I was 21 years old. Had just moved down, Beverly and I. We'd been married. We moved to Fort Lauderdale. I was a youth pastor at a church up by the Executive Airport. He was on staff there serving. I grew to love him. He loves God. He walks with God. He grew up in South Florida. I think you were born in Ohio, right? Were you born? We're in Kentucky. He was a long hair hippie, lived on the beach, worked at a water treatment plant. Was it for Plantation? Worked for Plantation, lived on Bailey Road. A man at work helped disciple him, but he got saved by, there was a man that used to walk across, or God used this, a man that used to walk across our country carrying a cross. His name was Arthur Blessed. Amen. You may know that. Somehow God put all that together and God saved Bill's life. And he loves the Lord and he's pastored in Dothan, Alabama. Today he pastors Fellowship Baptist Church right outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland. And just doing a great job. He's coming to preach a message today that I do believe that we need. And I'm begging you to listen. I'm begging God to work. And I know that you're going to be blessed. Would you please welcome my friend? Come on, Brother Bill. Come and preach.
Well, it is great to be here. I love your pastor. He is a dear friend. I remember when he and his wife came to Fort Lauderdale. And my wife and I took them out to eat, and I was the first one to let him eat alligator. Had to break him in right. But he's a wonderful, godly man, and I appreciate him. He's doing a great work here. I've been just blessed so much being here today. It's been wonderful. Seeing the church and everything going here, it's encouraging to my heart. It's great. I was born in Kentucky, but we moved when I was 6 months old, so I don't remember anything there. Florida's home to me, especially Fort Lauderdale. I graduated from Plantation High School and was saved on Fort Lauderdale Beach during spring break. I did not go there that morning to get saved. I went there for all of the wrong reasons, but God in His mercy saved me, and I was baptized in the ocean. And did not want to go to, I worked with a man who was a deacon over at Calvary Baptist. I had visited the church one time. I said, that man's crazy. I'll never go back there. And I worked for that man for 10 years before I told him that's what I thought of him the first time. That's where God wanted me. God's just been good. God is so good. I tell you, if you don't know the Lord today, this is not a salvation message. But if you don't know Him, you are missing out. I would... You know, even if we really did die and that was it, that was the end of life, you just ceased to exist, I'd still want to go through life saved. Because God's just so good. I love Him. But you know what? This is actually not even the good part. The best is yet to come. Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 2. The title of my message is, Who's Responsible? And that was just not to scare you. The real title probably should be, Man Up. My message is primarily to the men, but ladies, there's a little bit in there for you as well, and you need to listen and you know, give your husband a good elbow in the ribs every now and then, if he needs it, of course. Genesis chapter 2, let's look at verse 15. It says, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is indeed so precious and so powerful. God, people do not need to hear from me this morning. They need to hear from you. And I pray, God, that indeed this message would go forth in the power of your Holy Spirit and meet the need in each and every heart here. For God, you have a word for every person here today. I pray that they would be still before you and listen and hear and be blessed. Use this, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to look this morning at who's responsible, knowing that, I want you to understand, manhood is under attack in our country. It's under attack. It's been under attack by Hollywood. It's been under attack by the women's liberation movement. I am not against women's liberation in the sense that, obviously, women should be paid equally as men. Women should not be treated less than men. That stuff's not biblical. Too much of what has happened in the past is not biblical. But manhood should not be compromised in the process. We don't need to turn men into women, nor do we need to turn women into men. If you're a man, be proud to be a man. And if you're a woman, be proud to be a woman. My mother is with the Lord now. She didn't get saved until late in her life. But she used to teach all of her granddaughters, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is say, thank God I'm a woman. And she taught them that. And you know what? That's right. If you're a woman, thank God you're a woman. If you're a man, thank God you're a man. And, you know, these days you can have that changed, but we're not even going there. There's no way that's biblical. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that God gave man responsibility. Man was created and he had a job to do, take care of this garden. You know, we get the idea sometimes that Adam was in the Garden of Eden and he was just supposed to sit around in a hammock all day and enjoy God's creation. No, he had a job to do. He had a responsibility. He had a responsibility with a restriction. We all know chapter 3, he failed that pretty miserably. You know, God gave him a job to do, and then God looked at Adam. He had had all the animals come by, and Adam named every single one of them. Adam was much smarter than we are. Can you name all the animals? He named them all, and he remembered what he named them, too. And then God looked and said, there's not a helper that's suitable for him. Adam needs a help meet for him. That means a helper suitable. So God made woman. He made her not to be a servant. She wasn't there to cook for Adam and clean the dishes. She wasn't there just to be his playmate. She was there to help him with the responsibility that God had given him. She was a helper that was meet or suitable for him. The wife is to help the husband with the responsibilities that God has given him. Now, men, I want to look this morning at your domain, your area of responsibility. Domain means the territory governed by a single ruler or government. It's from dictionary.com. Webster used to have a dictionary. Maybe I have one of those. I don't know. It's too easy to click on dictionary.com. I have thesaurus.com on my, what do you call that? The favorites. Click on there. I like to alliterate my messages. And the thesaurus is the preacher's best friend if you try to alliterate. Well, God gave man responsibility, and man still has responsibility. I have a domain. You have a domain that you are uniquely responsible for. No one else is responsible for it but you. The first thing in my domain and in your domain is your wife. Your wife is your domain. My wife is my domain. I'm responsible for her. That doesn't mean I just rule over her, and we're going to talk more about that. But my wife is my responsibility. I'm responsible to take care of her. I'm responsible to lead her spiritually. to care for her physically, to care for her emotionally. That can be a bigger challenge sometimes. I'm a very non-emotional person. I'm just not emotional. It drives my wife nuts sometimes. She watches a movie, everybody's crying. I'm like, whatever, it's not real anyway. Now, the truth is, if I know it's sad, I'm not watching it. And if they hurt a kid, I don't want any part of it. There's very few good movies out there, but there's, what is that, that place in Albany, Georgia, they put out Fireproof and Facing the Giants. Those are good. They had one, Courageous, is it, about the policeman? We showed that in my church and the little girl died. I'm still mad at them for that. That had me tearing up. I don't like emotion. Emotion's not good. I like Spock on Star Trek, you know, just logic. Logic should rule everything. Well, it doesn't. We have emotion, and of course God gave them to us. My wife has a lot of emotions. So why are you crying? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't need to make sense. I'm to care for her emotionally. I am responsible for her. I'm responsible for my kids as well. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I have two children. God has blessed me with a son who is in Bible college. He attends Crown College in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this semester, Crown has a campus in England. They call it a campus. It's not really a campus. It's more of a farmhouse. They can take they've got 13 kids over there, and they go to school 3 days a week, and 3 days a week they work with a missionary. And he's assigned, three of them go down to Brighton, England. Brighton's one of the most wicked cities in Europe. It's very pagan. It's filled with homosexuality. It's the gay capital of Europe. And he goes there and works in a church that was started a year ago by a missionary. He works with the missionary for 3 days a week, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He comes in Friday, leaves on Monday. It's been great for him. I have a daughter who's also in Bible college. She wants to be a missionary to China. Her mother's not so much thrilled about that plan, but I thank God for my kids, but I'm responsible for my children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them. You can't just learn them, you also have to do them. James talked about that. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Down in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We, as fathers, there's a lot of fathers in here. There's some grandfathers in here. By the way, just because your kids grow up and they're gone, that doesn't end your responsibilities. There's a lot of adult children gone astray and grandkids who need prayer and need your intercession. My children are part of my domain. I am responsible to teach them. Father, you are responsible to teach your children the Word of God. It's okay, I put them in a Christian school, I write the check, they take care of it. No. Now, I know if they're in school here, they're getting a good, solid biblical education. But, Dad, you still better know what's going on. You better be involved in your child's education. If they're in public school, they're not getting the Word of God there. You have to deprogram. They come home thinking they came from a monkey. They may act like it, but they didn't. And you have to teach them right. They may be in another Christian school, or they may be homeschooled. Listen, don't you homeschool and just turn your kids over to your wife and say, that's it. Dad is responsible. Don't you put that all on your wife. You better know what's being taught. You better be on top of it. We have to take responsibility for our wives, for our children. And by the way, don't Some of your kids, let's see, this is March, so this is baseball season, I guess, for Little League. My son did all the sports stuff growing up, too. I'm so glad those days are over. Practice on Saturday and games all the time, and I don't miss it. But you know what? I miss them being little kids. That was fun, but I don't miss the ball games. Don't you dare miss church for a ball game. Don't do it. You be here Wednesday night. Don't be at that game. You say, well, they won't be able to play if he's not there. Then don't play. What is more important? If you take your child to a ball game or to anything else, I've got one family in the church, they keep missing, they'll miss a Sunday because the little girl's in a horse show. She does horse riding. She's in a show, so they miss church. What are they telling her? Horses are more important than God. Baseball is more important than God. Is that really what you want to teach your kids? No, you will regret it. Don't do it. They're not going in the major leagues anyway. If they are, they'll make it even though they missed on Wednesday night. So don't worry about it. They're not going pro and going to buy you a big house. Get them in church. Raise godly children. You are responsible for what your kids learn. Take responsibility. There's a third area. Your job. Colossians chapter 3. You just need more time to preach in this church. I run into the same problem at home. And they don't give me enough time. Funny thing is, back when we were on staff, people would say, oh, Bill's preaching good. We're going to get out early tonight. I would preach 20 minutes usually. 30 was a long message for me. Now I can go an hour, no problem. Don't worry, your roast isn't going to burn. I won't go that long this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants. Now, modern day, that's employee. We don't have servants and masters today, but we have employers and employees. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now you go to work tomorrow and you remember that you're to do your job as unto the Lord. You do your job as if your boss was Jesus Christ himself. You're thinking, I got the most wicked boss you can imagine. Did it say if he's wicked, you don't have to do this? I missed that exception clause. Just do it. Obey your boss. Honor them. You'll be amazed at how much weight that will carry. When I worked in a water plant. The water plant was on Bailey Road. I didn't live on Bailey Road. But I went by yesterday. It's gone. It's not there anymore. But I worked in a little water plant there with a man who was a deacon at Calvary Baptist. He's the one that was responsible for bringing me to Christ. And our boss was heathen. He really was. He told both of us straight out he was above the Bible. He was above that. The Bible was for simple-minded people. He was far advanced past the Bible. Just a heathen guy. But you know what? When I left, I went off to Bible college. And the other guy at one point left. And he sat down with the two of us. He said, you know, you two guys, he said, there's something about you. We knew the Lord. That's what there was. He said, I'd fire somebody to bring one of you guys on. He said, there's just something there. Well, of course, we're trying to tell him about the Lord, which he didn't want to hear. It ought to make a difference. People are watching you at work. Man, your job, that's part of your domain. That's your job. Someone else might be trying to get it, but they don't have it right now. That is your job. Take responsibility for what gets done at that job. A fourth area of responsibility is your position in church. I walked with your pastor. He showed me all the different Sunday school classes around here and different people working in different positions, singing in the choir and ushers. I've seen a lot of people doing different jobs. That's part of your domain. That's your job. I know you're doing it unto the Lord because I know he's not paying you. Do it as unto the Lord Don't get callous or lazy. It's important. This church is a lighthouse in this community. There are not many churches around here preaching the gospel. I know that. I spent most of my life in this county. There's not many places preaching the gospel. You're needed. Everybody in this church is needed. If you are a member of this church, what job do you have? You ought to have one. There's a place for everybody. You can do something. Maybe you can't sing in the choir, as I can't, as your pastor can't. Maybe you can't teach a Sunday school class, but you can do something. You can be an usher, or you can help with children. You can do something. You say, well, oh, I'm elderly, or I'm physically handicapped, or whatever. You can pray. You can determine, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to take our missionaries, and I'm going to pray for them every day. I'm going to get a list of everybody in the church, and I'm going to pray for them regularly. I'm going to lift up my pastor and pray for him. I had a dear old lady in my church in Alabama. She was in her 80s. She was walking like this. She had osteoporosis so bad, her ribs were literally touching her hips. She had lost 10 inches. She was in pain all the time. She could do very little. But you know what she did for Vacation Bible School? She showed up. And she said, I can't do anything with the kids, but I can pray. Would you take this chair and put it over there in the corner? We had her face in the corner. It looked like she'd been bad. And she said, give me a list of the kids. And she took those kids' names and sat in that corner and prayed while we were having Vacation Bible School. Whew. That was the best Vacation Bible School we ever had. We had more kids saved that year. That dear lady, she can't even get out to church anymore. But I know she's praying. I know she still prays for me. And I pray for her. She led an 80-year-old to Christ recently just before he died. Precious lady, and could bake. Oh, I miss her food that she used to bake me every year at Christmas. You can do something. You need a position that you say, you know what, this is mine and I take responsibility for it. And I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Guys, we have a job. Take responsibility. Let me give you an illustration from football. I love football. It's the greatest sport. They should play football year round. I don't care if they play baseball or basketball or anything else. Let's just play football. I know those guys can't survive, so we need like a fall league and a spring league or something so we can just have more football. But I'm not a Dolphins fan, so don't hurt me. They want to hurt me back at my church because I'm a Cowboys fan. And they really don't like the Cowboys around Washington, D.C. I don't understand why. They get after me and they tease me about the Cowboys not doing so well and they haven't done too good in recent years. And I just say, got five? Then they get more mad, so that doesn't work out too well. But an illustration from football, most of the men will understand this. Team's playing football and they're losing and it's late in the game and they've got to score and it's 4th and 8. 4th down, they have to get 8 yards. Well, they have to go for it. And you guys are thinking, yeah, they're going to throw the ball. Coach calls timeout, brings the players over, and the running back says, Coach, give me the ball. I said, what are you, crazy? It's 4th and 8. We're not going to run the ball on 4th and 8. We're going to throw it. No, Coach, really, give me the ball. We're not giving you the ball. Give me the ball, Coach. I can get it. I can make it. I'm telling you, Coach, I can do it. Just give me the chance. I'm going to get you those 8 yards. The coach says, all right. So they run the play. They hand it to the running back, and he gets 7 yards. And as a result, of course, the other team gets the ball, and they lose the game. And after the game, what's the first question the coaches ask? Why did you run the ball on 4th and 8? Who gets the blame? The coach. The coach didn't run the ball. He's not the one that got tackled. He wasn't out there on the field at all. But he's responsible. Man, that's what I want you to see. You're responsible. You didn't necessarily do everything that happens in your home, but you're responsible for everything that does happen in your home. You're responsible for your wife. You're responsible for your kids. You're responsible for your job. You're responsible for your position in the church. Take responsibility. Do not pass the buck. We've got too much buck passing going on. Listen, I live right outside D.C. They're the kings of it. None of them ever stand up and say, it is my fault. I am responsible for what happened. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that once in a while? We don't hear that. We need to move on here quickly. Well, go with me. I got to move you around a bit. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, God had told Abram, you're going to have a son. And, you know, I'm going to bless you through your son and all this. And he didn't have a child for a long time. And finally, his wife came up with a brilliant plan. Take Hagar, you go in unto her and have a child, and it'll be ours, and it'll all work out good. Genesis 16, verse 5. Abram, who became Abraham, did exactly what Sarah said. Hagar conceived. It didn't work out so well. In verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. He listened to his wife. And when it went bad, she went and said, look what you did. She went and said, my wrong is on you. She was right. Did he argue with her? No. She said, my wrong is on you. Listen, men, your wife's wrong is on you. Take responsibility. He shouldn't have listened to her. She was wrong. He should have said, no, honey, we're not doing that. It's a bad idea. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to serve the Lord and hopefully my wife and kids follow along. He didn't say that. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need men who will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord in this house, period. It's not open for debate. God will be honored in this house. End of discussion. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We've looked at your domain. Let's look, secondly, at dominating or developing. See, most men, once they realize they're in charge and they read passages like Ephesians 5, as we'll look at in just a minute, and see that the husband's the head of the home, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, and they think, that's it, I'm in charge. Bless God, woman, you better get in line. Fix my dinner, clean my clothes. And they start barking orders. They start dominating. They dominate the kids. Children should be seen and not heard. Our job is not to dominate. Our job is to develop. It's to train them. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. You can't order him into it. You train them. I won't turn you there, but Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45. Look that up later. Jesus talked about if you want to be great, you be a servant. He told his disciples, whoever's the best servant will be the leader. That's the truth. Serve. Jesus introduced servant leadership. It's very different than the world's idea of leadership. You want to be a leader, you be a servant. Men, you want to lead your home, you better start serving your home. Serve your wife. Serve your children. It's very important. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Men, did you know that's in the Bible? Because we usually start this passage at verse 22. Verse 21 says, submit yourselves one to another. There's a lot of areas I submit to my wife. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm right to do that. I'm not always right in how I treat my wife, but God lets me know when I'm not, that's for sure. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we've got to say a little bit to the wives. You're to submit to your husband as unto Jesus. I know he doesn't act like Jesus. It doesn't say submit as long as he acts like Jesus. It says submit to your husband as unto the Lord in everything. That means there's no exceptions. You submit to him. You honor him. You obey him, even when he's wrong. Now, if he tells you to go against God, you don't have to do that. But other than telling you to go against God, and that's from a different passage, but I don't have time to go there. You need to honor him. You need to submit to him. You need to understand something, ladies. Your husband has a responsibility that is far bigger than he can handle. That's the truth. Being a man is a bigger responsibility than any man in here can handle. Amen. To do it right before God. Your domain is too big for you. God gave you your wife to help you. Ladies, understand when you say, remember Sarah, when you say, honey, this is what we need to do, and he says, you know, dear, I love you, but I don't think that's what we should do. Then it's time to say, okay. It's not time to start nagging, start conniving, scheming to get him to do what you want, as women are so incredibly good at. Manipulating. I've watched my daughter try to manipulate me. I'm like, what? It's in the genes somehow. They just know how to do it, and they know when to cry and stuff. It's just wrong. It's a woman's secret weapon is tears. No, ladies, understand. Before God, he believes it's the wrong thing to do. Don't you push him into it. And then you're having to do like Sarah and say, my wrong be upon you. No. Be the helpmeet God called you to be. Help him not to make the wrong decision. If he doesn't feel comfortable about it spiritually, he's praying about it, says, I just don't feel right. Back off. Let him take responsibility like he's supposed to. We need men to step up. Now, men, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, don't miss this, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Understand something. Jesus Christ takes responsibility for the condition of his bride, the church. Look, if you knew me, you'd say, he's a mess. You know, how in the world did he get to be a pastor? I wonder that every day. It's God called me, not me. God took me from a mess and saved me and called me into the ministry. Jesus Christ takes responsibility for my condition. His blood, as the choir sang about so beautifully, his blood cleanses me and makes me clean before Jesus so that he can have a bride that's holy and without blemish. Men, you are responsible for the spiritual condition of your bride, your wife. If she's out of line, you're responsible. If she's not walking with the Lord, you are responsible. Take responsibility. Don't start beating her up. Well, woman, you're not right with God. Well, man, you're not right with God because you didn't teach her to be right with God. See, that's what responsibility is. It's like the coach. He's not the one that failed to gain the first down, but he's responsible. Take responsibility. I'm going to help my wife. I'm going to teach her. It's my job. Now, you know the problem? Most of the wives are more spiritual than the men. How can you teach her if she's more spiritual than you? Not very well, you can't. So you better get on the ball. Years ago, many years ago, they put me in Awana. I love Awana. It's a great program. I was a young Christian. I got saved at 21 years of age. And I didn't have any Christian background at all. They put me in Awana and said, now listen to these kids say their verses. I said, okay. I got the book, and the kid said, Acts 16:31, and it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it said in the Awana book. And the kid said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And I said, don't be, the kid said, in thy house. I said, don't be making up stuff. I didn't know that was the verse. I had no idea. Because the, you know, it was teaching on salvation and that part wasn't necessary. They hadn't printed the whole verse. Well, he said, I said, don't be making stuff up. He said, I'm not. That's what the verse says. I said, oh, yeah, I'm just kidding. I thought, how in the world am I going to teach them? They know more Bible than I do. I took that Awana book. I went home. I memorized every verse in that book. I said, they're not going to stay ahead of me. I got some work to do. It challenged me. Men, some of you, your wife is more spiritual than you are. You better get on the ball. You better get after it. You have to lead her. Don't try to dummy her down either. Honey, get out of the Bible. You don't need to be reading that. Watch TV or something. No, you catch up. Lead her. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You need to understand your wife's different from you are. I mentioned my wife cries when the wind blows. She cries all the time. I don't know. She's probably crying right now. I don't know why. Sad thing is she doesn't either. I just can't comprehend that. I can't get my head around that. Well, that's okay. I have to understand her needs are different than mine. She doesn't need to watch football on Sunday afternoon. She sees no sense in that, actually. You know what? But she needs different things. My job is to dwell with her according to knowledge. You better know your wife. You better know what she needs and when she needs it and how she needs it. Women like flowers. Somebody brought me flowers, I think they lost their mind. But my wife loves if I bring flowers, though she likes plants better because the flowers die. I have to know what she likes and when she likes it and how she likes it. Dwell according to knowledge. Don't just sit back and say, nobody can understand women. The Bible says dwell with her according to knowledge. You better pray for some wisdom from God so you can do that. He goes on and says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. He didn't say she is the weaker vessel. In many cases, she's the stronger vessel. She's physically weaker. Your wife needs to be honored. Men, you're responsible to make sure she gets honored. Is your wife getting the honor she deserves? Do your children honor her? You better make sure they do. Do you honor her? You try sometime cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids. Your wife gets sick and you have to do all that. You'll start honoring her. She needs to be honored. You need to make sure she gets the honor she deserves. In Matthew 11, you know the passage where Jesus said, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Jesus did not demand of his church, you come and serve me. He's not cracking the whip saying, get in here, get in line, straighten out, sit up straight, pay attention. You didn't read your Bible enough this morning. You didn't pray long enough this morning. That's not Jesus. He says, come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll love on you. You come and I'll love on you. Men who are demanding of their wives or of their children are just plain selfish. It's not about training them. It's about you getting what you want. You're to be the servant. The man who serves his wife is a wise man. You take care of her needs. She'll take care of yours when you take care of hers. Don't dominate your family. Develop them to be like Christ. I'll give you one last point quickly. Dependence. Dependence. See, Brother Tom put the outline in the bulletin, so I have to hit all the points. It's probably a good idea, too. Listen, guys, you can't do it. The job you have is greater than you are. You can't do it, but he can. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ lives in me. You know, the only one that can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. We're not called to live, we're called to die. Paul said, I die daily. Guys, you have to get before God and say, God, you made me responsible for a wife, for children, for my job, for my position in church. You may come up with other things than what I did. I'm responsible for all this stuff. Oh, God, help me. That's exactly where you need to be. We need God's help. You can't do it. Wife, understand your husband has a job that's bigger than him. Now, your kids are up and grown and married and you have grandkids. Listen, grandkids are in trouble. I'm telling you, what has inspired this message more than anything else, as a pastor, I get so tired of seeing men whose children are in trouble. Honestly, I like how their children aren't even saved, but they don't know it. I think, I don't know how you can miss it. It's as plain as can be. Well, I raised them in church. Well, so what? I'm glad you did, but does that get them saved? They're living like heathen. I don't even know how many people in my church, their children are living with somebody not married. Or their grandchildren are living with somebody and they're not married. That's still sin. You know, when I was a kid, they called that shacking up, living in sin. It still is sin. Right. Only now it's man with man and woman with woman. And in Maryland, they can get married. It's still sin. And that doesn't make me homophobic. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. They're afraid of me because I know the truth. And it's not the unpardonable sin either. Don't misunderstand me. You say, it's an abomination unto God. Yes, it is. And so is pride. And you're guilty of that, and so am I. It's sin. Jesus Christ saves from sin. Jesus Christ can save the homosexual. Jesus Christ can save the man and woman living together that are not married. But don't excuse it. Well, he was born that way. What difference does that make? We were all born in sin. That's not an excuse to stay there. People need to be saved. If your children, if your grandchildren are living in sin, they need Jesus Christ. And you are responsible to get them there. We need men to stand up and say, I will be the man. I will take responsibility for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren, for my church, for my job. Listen, I was led to Christ by a man that I worked with. He invited me to church. I went one time. I said, I will never go back. That man's crazy. If you had to get saved in church, I'd still be lost. He kept witnessing to me, and I thank God that he did. Because that's what got me saved. Who's going to lead those people that you work with to Christ if you don't do it? Who's going to make the difference? Men, get up. You know the biggest thing you need to do? Step one, get out of bed in the morning. You can't lead your wife spiritually if she spends more time with God than you do. How are you going to do that? You can't. It's impossible. How are you going to lead her spiritually if she gets out of bed before you do in the morning to pray and read the Bible? You need to get up and pray. Read your Bible. It's not hard to get up early. It's hard to go to bed early. Turn the television off. Go to bed. And get up and pray. That's where the power comes from, prayer. You'll have no power till you have a prayer life. Pray. Men, you're needed. Families are under attack. They're falling apart. That's the demise of our nation, is that our families are collapsing all around us. We need men, godly men, to stand up, to man up, take responsibility. Let's pray.